Good morning, happy Sabbath, everyone. I understand that the time is getting kind of late, so I'm trying to mentally adjust. So I'm going to try to condense our message to 10 minutes or less. And so keep me in prayer. And so I might share some of these points at a later time, but for now, I'm just going to condense it to the very basic essentials. But before we go into our message, let's actually have a word of prayer. Gracious Father, Father, I pray that in these short moments that you impress your people of the gravity of your word, how the necessity of togetherness, and how there is a great force, meaning the devil, works to undermine your kingdom. But yet, Father, may we, through your word, be empowered to know how to overcome the great adversary. Father, I pray that you would bless me with the words to speak, but more importantly, bless your people with the ears to hear and the heart that is a man and woman after your own heart, God. Bless us, Lord, as we go forward. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. I think growing up, I was oblivious to a lot of news. Maybe some of you young people are in the same way. You don't understand some of the things that are going on in the world or in our nation or even our state. Excuse me. But in 1994, there was an event that I was oblivious to until I actually watched a documentary called The Ghost of Rwanda. And that documentary by PBS what dramatically impacted my life in the sense that it made me keenly aware of the terribleness of this world. In 1994, 800,000 Rwandans died at the hands of each other. 300,000 were badly injured. Now, to just give you a brief perspective of how big that is, our city, if you live in Beaumont, it's roughly around 130,000 in population. If you include Orange and Lumberton and Port Arthur and Coons and Port Neches and Vidor, you might get 250,000. But in Rwanda, 800,000 people died in a span of 100 days. In 3 months, almost 1 million people died. And you can say, how could such a tragedy happen? How could there be so much hatred? To give you a brief synopsis, it really boiled down to two tribes, the Hutus and the Tutsis. Now, in Rwanda, I'm told 85% of the country at the time were Hutus, but for much of the history, for decades, the Tutsi, the other tribe, actually were the ruling party. And there was deep intertribal conflict, and to make a long story short, it came to the point where a plane was shot down that had some Hutu leaders, and that started a great massacre that words would fail me to describe. And I actually had some pictures up. If I were to put actual pictures of that site, it would not be appropriate for children. So I put some photos that are more children appropriate. So it ended up like the Hutus formed a militia, and they forced every Hutu to kill their Tutsi neighbor. And sadly, church members going to the same church, Hutus actually kill Tutsis. And even in some Adventist churches, this actually happened as well. There was even an Adventist pastor and his son who was arrested and sentenced to 10 years for partaking of this genocide. In some cases, some husbands even kill their own wives. No one was safe. In this PBS documentary, called The Ghost of Rwanda, there was an interview with a general named General Dallaire. He was a Canadian who was serving as the United Nations general assigned to Rwanda. And he makes a very pointed, very, very descriptive and appropriate statement. He said, in describing the genocide, he said it was evil. There was a presence of evil supernatural powers. Can you forward it for me, please? One more, please. Ephesians chapter 6 says, we are not fighting against humans, but against the wicked spiritual forces in the heavenly world, the rulers, authority, the cosmic powers of this dark age. In the New King James, it says, we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. This battle, our battle, is actually with people. It's the powers of the darkness. It's the powers of the devil that uses the weakness and the sinfulness of human beings for his purpose. And it's not, Rwanda is not a unique occurrence. We see it throughout history. Every decade has had its traumatic, devastating events similar. We see it with the Cambodians. We see it, the war today in Israel and Palestine, where almost 30,000 people combined have perished. And I'm not taking sides here, only to describe that there is suffering, there's death, there's pain, there's in this world, there's much that the devil incites to cause misery upon humanity. And the devil is hard at work. He's the author of confusion, the instigator of hate, the power behind suffering. But there is an interesting statement that Mark makes. Why is the devil to some degree this powerful? And I'm not saying he's more powerful than God, because demons shudder and tremble at the sight of Jesus in his presence. But this is what Scripture said in Mark chapter 3, verse 23 to 26. So Jesus, meaning Jesus, called to himself and said to them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, the kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. What Jesus is saying, if we could put it in our own words, is this: that Satan and his demonic angels are not divided. To put it another way, the devil and his angels are completely united in their desire and purpose in the destruction of humanity. The devil knows the power of unity. He may be a lot of things, but one thing the Scriptures tells us, he is not divided against himself. There's unity among the demonic forces. And if that thought doesn't scare us, it should. Because they are one mind, one purpose, is to oppose God and for the destruction of humanity. And the reality is this: churches, including our own, are not exempt from that. In fact, I would argue that the devil attacks the churches, God's people, even to a greater degree. And you may have witnessed either in this church or another church or in your community, even in your own family, whatever it is, you might notice that the divisions and the controversies and the friction that we experience probably maybe on a daily basis. But that battle is not with people. Scripture says that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. We're battling demonic forces. And that's why Jesus always loved the sinner, but hated the sin. And as Christians, what are we to do when we face this kind of evil, this much hatred? And I know the temptation is this. We are to hate others that hate us. Hate for hate. And we are tempted with for an eye for an eye, for a tooth for a tooth. But if I make a quote Patrick Henry, who said, "Let us trust God and our better judgment to set us right hereafter. United we stand, but divided we fall." We cannot fight hatred with hatred. We cannot fight evil with evil. If we do so, we have become the very thing that we hated. We have become like our enemies. This battle is not a mortal battle. We battle the prince of darkness. It's a spiritual battle. So we must use the tools of our warfare. It's the spiritual tools. And that's why the Bible says, take up the whole armor of God. In the words of Jesus, he says, "You have heard it said, you are to love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." It sounds great, but so very hard to do. And I do not speak because I have attained to this. In fact, I fight my own battles on a weekly basis, sometimes daily. Sometimes I feel like people have wronged me either today or in the past or in history. And sometimes my mind lingers upon those things and I fight bitterness. Sometimes every day. Other times, not just bitterness, I feel that hatred just creeping up in my heart. Because I want to hate for hate. But Jesus says, love those who hate you. I know that I have often drunk the poison of bitterness, hoping that it will hurt my adversaries. But in the end, I realize I only hurt myself. And it is in those moments that when we are tempted with bitterness, tempted with hatred, tempted with even depression, we are to cling on to God, asking for the strength to love and to forgive. Asking for help because we are to love those we deem that do not deserve our love. And if I could victoriously retaliate, hate for hate, wrong for wrong, whatever it is, if I am successful in doing that, I have failed in that I have become that which I hated in the first place. So God's way is this. We cannot defeat racism with more hate. We cannot fight the devil on his terms. It's a different fight. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Put on the whole armor of God. And as the devil plants seeds of hatred, we must plant seeds of kindness, of mercy and love. As the devil destroys, we must rebuild. As the devil pushes for intolerance, we must practice the patience of the saints. And as the devil seeks to divide humanity, as the devil seeks to divide families, as the devil seeks to divide churches, we must unite together as one under the banner of Christ. That's Christ's way. Even the devil recognizes the power of togetherness, of unity. And if the devil knows that, how much more should we also be united under the banner of Christ as one, with one heart, one purpose, under one God? So, going forward this year, much of my messages is going to focus on this theme, togetherness. Because the devil trembles at a church that is united with one mind, with one purpose, under one God. The devil trembles at the thought of a united church. And I know there is also prayer ministries going in this church. We are going to push for togetherness in prayer, in service, in all things. I would do a great injustice if I didn't actually finish the story. This guy, his name is Valmy. He used to live in Houston, and I met him in 2007. He was a student missionary in the University of Michigan. He actually became an Adventist after the Rwandan genocide. He's actually Rwandan. He's actually a survivor of the Rwandan genocide. He's the lone survivor in his family. His parents were able to sneak him out of the country right before the killings began. But when his parents returned to Rwanda, they too were killed. And 10 years after the genocide, he had an opportunity to testify against the woman that took part in his mother's killing. But after much prayer, he declined because he said he had already forgiven her in his heart. He could have held on to the hatred, the bitterness, but he refused to do so. The devil could not force him to hold on to that hatred. He chose to love, to forgive, as Christ said, and he overcame the devil through the love of Christ. This will be my final story. During the Rwandan genocide, armed with machetes and other weapons, many Hutu militia came rush into a Seventh-day Adventist church. At the time, the choir was practicing. And in this choir, there were Hutus and Tutsis. And the militia rushed in and demanded that the Hutu choir members kill their brethren and their sisters, the Tutsis that were singing and practicing with them. They ordered to kill their fellow Tutsis, and or otherwise we will kill you as well if you don't do this. But the Hutu choir members, the D7th Adventists, they refused. They said, "In this church, there is no Hutu, there is no Tutsi. All are brothers and sisters in Christ," quote unquote. The killers put a lot of pressure on them, threatening them with deadly weapons. But those members kept on saying that they would not kill their brothers and sisters, and no amount of pressure could cause them to do otherwise. Sadly, the militia ruthlessly massacred almost the entire choir, with the exception of a few that narrowly escaped. But they were not defeated in death. They were victorious over Satan and the enemies. The devil could not force them to hate, force them to kill, to force them to go against the will of God. They chose death over hate. They chose unity in Christ to die for their brothers and sisters in Christ. Death could not defeat the Spirit of God working in them. It is only through the power of Christ that we can defeat the evil one. And I believe on that resurrection day, when Jesus returns, they will be there to rise from the grave, victorious in Jesus. For today, let not even the thought of death divide us in any matter. May our love be so great that we would die for one another. But it's only as the Spirit of God works in us that we can achieve this unity. My prayer is that each one of us will not only pray, but strive for a stronger unity in Christ. God bless you guys.